Good morning, San Diego. Welcome to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan here on Extra Sports 1360, your flagship station for Chargers football. For the next hour, Doug Young and Dan McClellan want to talk sports with you, and the lines are now open. Speak your sporting mind now. Call 570-1360 from any area code. And now, here are your guys, Doug and Dan, on Sports Squawk Sunday, only on Extra Sports 1360.
Good morning, San Diego, and welcome indeed. Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug Young and Dan McClellan on Extra Sports 1360. Oh, baby, what a concept. And welcome indeed another awesome Sports Squawk Sunday after an incredible sporting Saturday. Well, if you like the Belmont Stakes, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, how about a little fighting action? Timothy Bradley beating Manny Pacquiao in a huge upset and a terrible decision. Dan, nothing happened yesterday. I don't know what we're going to talk about today.
We have a great show. I think if we were to spend we could spend the entire show talking about yesterday, but we're not going to do that because we have some great guests lined up.
That's right. No Triple Crown at the Belmont Stakes, of course, because I'll have another, couldn't go another Triple Crown race, the final jewel of that series, a tendon injury, knocking out the Kentucky Derby winner and Preakness winner, and leaving it to Union Rags, going from rags to riches, I guess you could say. Union Rags winning the Belmont in an eyelash finish, very exciting. Painter finishing second, and Antigone third, a very exciting race. And coming up at 9:15, we'll be talking to a real horse racing expert named Dennis Foster. He's been an owner for over 29 years, has raced in stake races across the country, and won at Del Mar through the years. So Dennis Foster, talking all things horse racing at 9:15.
Yeah, his horse, Borrego, won the Pacific Classic a few years back.
Well, I'll tell you what, with all the controversy about I'll Have Another and his trainer, Doug O'Neill, who has been suspended by Del Mar for milkshaking, we can get some of the definitions of those terms, and a very interesting situation, and that didn't affect him running at the Belmont. I'm not sure who makes the rules in horse racing, but if you're watching yesterday, a very exciting race, not to mention the NBA game last night. Huge. Miami beats Boston 101-88 in Game 7 of the Eastern Finals and advances to the NBA Finals against OKC.
Well, Doug, I've said I'm not a huge NBA guy. It's not what I do is watch the NBA all season long. I kind of get into it in the playoffs. I really enjoyed last night's game.
Huge. It was great. And vindication of sorts for LeBron James back to the NBA Finals for the NBA Finals for the second straight year with the Miami Heat. Is this the year he finally wins an NBA championship?
I'm kind of hoping so.
Yeah, he's got a lot of support. He'd like to get that monkey off his back that has turned into King Kong, but Kevin Durant and company are going to have something to say about that. Game one of the NBA Finals is Tuesday night at 6 o'clock on Channel 10. And now, I guess the question in Beantown is, are the big three done for the Celtics?
Maybe. Getting a little bit older. If you can't get there, maybe it's time to break it up and rebuild again.
Getting a little long in the tooth, KG and company. The Stanley Cup Finals, 2-1. The Devils stay alive. Stave off elimination. I love saying that. Stave off elimination, 2-1. And now L.A. still leads 3-2, Game 6 Monday night in L.A. at the Staples Center. You know, I lived in Buffalo for 20 years. There's two things to do in Buffalo, watch the Bills and watch the Sabres. So this is it. Kind of fun to watch the Kings make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Let's say the Kings win it, which I think they will. How do you think the people in Canada who are just absolutely rabid hockey fans, I've been in Canada during the playoffs, the feeling that maybe two Southern California teams will win the Stanley Cup within a 5-year span. Is that just fundamentally wrong for them?
I don't know, but I think it's an illusion that, hockey may be the national sport of Canada. When was the last time a Canadian team won a Stanley Cup? I can tell you. 1993, the Montreal Canadiens. So it's been a while.
Yeah, but should teams win Stanley Cups that don't even have ice in their city?
Well, evidently, yes, because it's happened. And last night, I got that fight between Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley incredible. I had Manny Pacquiao winning every round but one, okay? That was an easy fight to call. It was absolutely a unanimous decision for Manny Pacquiao. However, the judges ruled for Timothy Bradley a 2-1 split decision.
Hey,
was this fight fixed?
They already have the rematch. Of course it was fixed. I mean, they already had the date of the rematch. This is it.
You're right. They had the date of the rematch before the decision was announced.
It's why I just don't like boxing.
Boxing's doity. All doity. And the Padres actually won yesterday, 5-2 in Milwaukee. They play again today at 11:10 to see if they can win their second series of the year against the same team they beat the first time around when the Brewers played in San Diego last month. But of bigger interest to Padre fans, the huge news yesterday that Tony Gwynn owes $400,000 to Uncle Sam. So perhaps the question to ponder at 570-1360, will that $400,000 Tony Gwynn owes Uncle Sam ruin his bid to buy the Padres? I say no. I don't think it has anything to do. They're two separate entities, and I don't see how that's going to affect that buying bid one iota.
I have some concerns, though. And here's this. We want an owner to come in and to invest some money in this team and maybe, you know, lose some money the first couple years by getting some good free agents. So let's say Gwynn owns 5% of the Padres, and they lose $30 million in a year as they're trying to get things going here. Is he going to be on the hook for 5% of that to be able to come out? And is he capable of doing that? I don't know what the finances would be behind this. Maybe Gwynn isn't really an owner, is really maybe not the right term for it. Maybe a hired spokesperson by whoever is purchasing the team, and that's a different thing. But if Gwynn's putting in his own money but doesn't have his own financial house in order, I think that is a bit of a concern.
I don't think Thomas Tull was thrilled to hear the news about Tony Gwynn's debt to Uncle Sam, the IRS, if you will. Thomas Tull, the movie mogul, who approached Tony Gwynn about being the front man in his bid to buy the Padres. Judging from this news, broken by the UT, I'd have to say that Peter O'Malley and Phil Mickelson might be in the driver's seat to buy the Padres. Although, I don't know how this is going to affect Tony Gwynn's bid. And I don't think anybody does. This is kind of uncharted territory in baseball. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But I'm sure that our listeners have some comments about it.
On the same lines, I posted something on Facebook last week in a follow-up and a comment that I made on the show here saying that, you know, I really don't think that fans should go out and support this team right now, which is a tough thing to say when you're in doing sports radio. And I still have a Cub Buster T-shirt at home from 1984. There's no question that I love the Padres. I don't want to be taken the wrong way, but I do have a bit of a logic behind this. And that is that John Moores is not going to provide a championship for the Padres. We know that now. It's going to be the next owner. So it's now time to support the next owner, whoever it is. Now, every dollar that is spent on this team right now only inflates the value of the team, making it more expensive for the next owner to purchase the team and providing less resources for that owner to be able to go out and spend in free agency. So if you want to support the next owner who's going to have the best opportunity to bring the championship here to San Diego, you spend no money in supporting the team currently as it is.
Yeah, you know, and we shall see how this plays out. Tony Gwynn has not had a comment about this. Again, it's breaking news. The reaction's coming in, so feel free to chime in at 570-1360 as Sports Quack Sunday with Doug and Dan continues here, Extra Sport 1360. And lest we forget, coming up at 9:30, a very special guest joining us. How about Philip Rivers? You may have heard of him, the Chargers quarterback. He is going to be joining the show at 9:30.
We've got the 5K walk coming up and the football camp the next couple weeks.
Amazing.
Great time. And there's also the Shoot for the Cure for HD, which Gates is doing next Friday night. And we'll get into OTAs and all that Charger information.
And wasn't it nice, the Chargers giving a workout to Brian Banks, the ex-player who was in jail for 5 years for a rape he didn't commit, making huge news this week as well, getting a tryout with Seattle, invited back for their minicamp, and the Chargers giving him a workout and not inviting him back, but giving him a chance, and boy, was he grateful. That is such an encouraging story.
I had a chance to meet Brian at the press conference down there at the California Western School of Law. Great guy. I really would like to see him get an opportunity somewhere. It really is a great story. And really what I want to do, I want to get the rights to be able to write the screenplay about it when he does get on a team, because that's going to be better than Invincible. It's going to be better than Rudy. If this guy just gets into game for one play.
You're right. That's going to be a great movie. TV movie, maybe, who knows, but it's a great story, and someone will take advantage of that. Okay, 9:12, Sports Squawk Sunday, Doug Young, Dan McClellan, Extra Sports 1360. Stand by, will there ever be another Triple Crown winner? We'll speak with horse racing expert and owner Dennis Foster next. Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360.
You're listening to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan here on Extra Sports 1360. Got something to say? Get it off your chest. Call 570-1360. Good from any area code. Your guys will be right at the station.
A question for you. How much is your electric bill each month? The electric part of your SDG&E bill. If it's more than $100 a month, you are wasting money if you do not have solar panels on your home. And I wasted money for many, many years, and regrettably so. But I finally made the change. I went solar with Herca Solar, and it has been amazing. My first bill was $6.34. My second bill was $5.23. Combine the two together, I have saved over $270 if you're to compare the same bills to a year ago. Herca Solar uses sun power panels, which are made right here in the United States and come with a 25-year warranty. You need to call Herca Solar today to get a free estimate and to go solar. Call 1-877-796-3529 or visit hercasolar.com. Call 1-877-796-3529.
Welcome back to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, only on Extra Sports 1360. Speak your sporting mind now at 570-1360. Good from any area code. Such a deal.
With one for him to go, Painter is still there. Smith imploring him for one more furlong. And here comes Union Reds unleashing a final furious rally to win the Belmont Stakes by a nose over Painter.
And down the stretch they come. Yeah, Union Rags winning at the wire at the Belmont Stakes yesterday. Welcome back, Sports Squawk Sunday. Doug Young and Dan McClellan, Extra Sports 1360, where you heard the Belmont Stakes live. Wasn't that exciting? I kind of like having horse racing on the radio. The theater of the mind thing.
One of my big gripes about horse racing, the big races, you have an hour and a half of pregame coverage for a minute and a half a race.
And, of course, I'll have another unable to ride in the Belmont Stakes and becoming, I believe, and I have a little thing right here, 19 horses had won the first two legs of the Triple Crown only to use the third. To lose the third, and I guess I'll have another, became the 20th. And joining us now to talk about the Belmont Stakes and horse racing in general, we have Dennis Foster, a race horsing owner for over 29 years. He's raced in stake races across the country and won at Del Mar through the years. And Dennis, welcome to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan. God love you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time, man. And tell you what, a lot of people were disappointed yesterday, of course, that I'll Have Another was unable to run in the Belmont Stakes and give it a go for that Triple Crown. Are we ever going to see another Triple Crown winner?
Well, I think we will. And the first thing is, it turned out to be a very exciting day. We'd be doing a disservice if we didn't talk about the trainer of the winning horse. Michael Matz is an American hero. He competed three times for our Olympic team. He won a World Cup. But the best thing about Michael Matz, in 1989, he was on a United Airlines flight that lost control, wound up flipping over, landing upside down and burning in Sioux City, Iowa. he got his current wife, then his fiance, they were on their way to Hawaii, out of the plane, went back, rescued three children, went back, and pulled out an 11-month-old. This is one class guy. Had Barbaro that won the Derby, then had an injury that they did everything in the world to save, them and the owner Jackson's. No Michael Well. We were barned next to him at Fairhill for several years. Our youngest daughter went to his clinics in jumping when she was a teen and younger. And, you know, you don't get that kind of knowledge in the racing public. And I was very disappointed we didn't have a Triple Crown winner. It would have been very good for racing. But this is an incredible story that racing can put out. He didn't come to the training game until 1998. He's 61 now, still rides his own horses. He had three California horses in there going down the stretch, Bodemeister twice, just nipped, and then Painter nipped. So while we didn't have the Triple Crown winner, we really had an exciting day of racing. I think it was an incredible story. So for racing, that was a success.
No question about it. Speaking with Dennis Foster, race horsing owner, my guy joining us. And I'll tell you what, why was the trainer of I'll Have Another suspended for milkshaking? A lot of people don't know what milkshaking is, and I might be one of them. Can you explain that term and what charges Doug O'Neill was facing?
Yeah, he actually, they didn't, you know, he, Del Mar ran he and another trainer out of a detention barn one year, and that got quite a bit of publicity, and he has had tests. Milkshaking is a technique that is illegal but if the carbon dioxide levels are too high. It's very complex, but it's really putting sugar and carbonated water drenching the horse so that the red cells, they oxidize and it helps your endurance. It's, you know, I think he should get some credit for the way he's handled this horse and made a tough call. An injury that maybe you could have even run on, but would have been risky. So he says he's learned from past events. He handled this well. Racing's working really hard to police those kind of efforts. We could be helped if we were uniform across the country instead of having every state jurisdiction regulate racing, but clearly, in this case, he handled disappointment well. He and the owner, Paul Redham, really did. They were very bold in saying, we're not going to take any risk just to win a Triple Crown, and we're going to pull the horse out of the race.
Is this horse maybe worth more by not running as if they would have would have won and didn't win the Triple Crown? Because now,
well,
you can say
that's a good question. I don't think in that case, but I think it's a good question. The idea of one of the things I don't like about racing is there is money in breeding, and we've bred, and when the economic cycles are good, there's a real temptation to take a horse early to the breeding shed, get your money. There are a few owners, and you look at Zenyatta, your horse out there, fantastic filly. They raced her for 6 years rather than selling her as a mare for a lot of money and getting her to the breeding shed. But racing's expensive. You don't make money every year. You rarely make money. It's hard to get good horses. And so you have to cover some of those expenses. And the temptation and the need is to get the horse to the breeding shed early, syndicate a stallion, get some of your money back. So very good question. I think, though, if the horse would have ran and not won, it wouldn't diminish the value because he, you know, won four races this year too quickly. So the thing that would have been worse is to have a serious injury. So that's my point before. It's a real credit to not run the horse.
Dennis Foster with us, Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360, talking about the Triple Crown effort and coming up short, I'll Have Another. You know what? A lot of people think that these three races in that time span has just become too big a task for a horse to win all three nowadays. It's been 34 years since Affirmed won the Triple Crown in 1978. Is this something that has just become impossible for a horse to do?
Well, I think one of the things we have to think about is the breeding's changed. Too much breeding is now done for speed and getting the horses to the track early. So you're not necessarily getting the endurance horses and the horses that are bred for long-term soundness, because we've got bias towards speed, the U.S. much more than Great Britain and other countries. So that's a factor. But you have to think back many years ago, they used to run the Derby trial 6 days before the Derby, and you had a lot of iron-legged horses. That's changed, but it still is possible to win the Triple Crown, and I think it will happen.
Dennis, you take your horses into various states to compete. How difficult is it for you, from your perspective, to not have a commissioner of horse racing, and for you have to abide by all the different laws and regulations from each state you go and compete in?
Well, I think the idea of a national commissioner would bring uniformity, and instead of giving so many options to the state, there's different levels of lab testing, A, B, and C labs, A, B, and C drugs, and it does vary by state. And if you had a commissioner and you had one set of regulations nationwide and a high standard for testing, all the entry and all the race day requirements were the same, it would be much simpler and much better for racing. Good question.
Another excellent question from Ben McClellan. I'll tell you know, Del Mar is such a beautiful track where the surf meets the turf. And, you know, I like to go watch the Nags run. And it seems like horse racing has become more popular than ever. I mean, they were going to have a gigantic crowd at Belmont Stakes if I'll Have Another had ran. They still had a pretty good crowd. But it seems to me that horse racing is more popular than ever.
Well, I think that's, in 1963, more people went to horse races than baseball. And Dan made an interesting point. I'll correct him in that a mile and a half races goes about over 2 minutes and 25 seconds, not a minute and a half. But still, to get the horses ready for the race and the downtime and the race and stuff, you really do need merchandisers, marketing people to have activities in between, simplify the handicapping system if that's possible, bring more kind of team sport, a racing league, those kind of things can be done and should be done. And if you're not a racing fan, you can overdo it with some of the legacy and you're missing new market opportunities. So I think you make a good point. We need to take very great advantage of opportunities like a Triple Crown and like a jockey. A jockey, Ramon Dominguez, won 5 races yesterday. We gave him his first stake mount. Is there anything written about that? He was on the undercard, but he won 2 stakes and 5 races. And he's a hero, a 2-time Eclipse winner, and yet he doesn't get the publicity like a guy that hits 30 home runs.
Dennis, you're a fount of knowledge, and we appreciate your time. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But one final question. What is the biggest challenge facing horse racing at this point?
To get young people like you and Dan into the marketplace. We're too traditional, and the sport isn't carrying the weight with the youth.
Lower the price of alcohol at the track.
They do that. They have happy hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, a Triple Crown winner would help. A lot of people saying the sports needs that kind of shot in the arm, and maybe next year is the year for a Triple Crown.
Well, everybody should watch Breeders' Cup days, because that is world-class racing couple days, and maybe even more important than the Triple Crown if you really get into racing.
Dennis, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, Dennis Foster, race horsing owner, 29 years worth. Thanks for his expertise this morning. Okay, Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360. Coming up, a guy named Philip Rivers will talk Chargers football. We'll get a preview of his 5K run in football camp for kids. Stay at 570-1360. You can get on board and speak your sporting mind. You can follow us on Facebook, Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, a magnificent page on Facebook, courtesy of Dan McClellan, does a great job keeping it up to date. And on Twitter, you can follow us at Sport Squawk, SportSquawk. You probably never spelled Sport Squawk, but it's easy to spell.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Facebook page, we've been waiting on Philip Rivers. He hasn't called in yet. But on the Facebook page, Sport Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan on Extra Sports 1360 is the full title there.
Oh.
I put up a link to a little boy's website called, his name's Jacob Collins, and Jacob came out to Chargers Park this week for OTAs.
Oh, yeah.
8 years old, and on April 12th, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor in the middle of his brain stem, and is really given 9 to 11 months to live. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with his mom. It was one of those interviews where we both broke down in tears during the interview, and I gave her a big hug. And just to see this boy, he was so patient, and there's, you know, finally he locked eyes with Philip Rivers, and he waves to him, and then after practice, Philip came up to him and went in the locker room, and it was a closed locker room, and showed the little boy around and just made his day. I know that Jacob wants to go to Disney World, and there's a fundraiser, and that's why I put a link on our webpage if you'd like to help Jacob get to Disney World.
You know, let's give some kudos to the Chargers for doing this for this kid that's so ill, for bringing in a guy like Brian Banks. The Chargers do more for this community than perhaps any team in the NFL. It is wonderful. It is stupendous. And I got to give credit where credit's due. The Chargers do a great job getting out in the community and doing the right thing for this community. It's huge.
And there's so many community events that are coming up right now for you to be able to come out and really meet the players, interact with them. The first is next Friday night, which is the Shoot for the Cure, Huntington's disease. Bill Johnston, who is the Chargers public relations director, his wife, Ramona, has HD, and I've watched her deteriorate over the last 3 years. She's now in a home situation where she gets regular, you know, 24 hours a day care.
Right.
And it's one of those diseases where it's 100% fatality rate. And come out to Chargers Park next Friday night, shoot some hoops. A lot of Charger players are going to be there with Antonio Gates, and he's sponsoring this thing. And then on Saturday, we have Philip Rivers' 5K walk, which all goes to help San Diego foster children. That's a great event. I've been out there the last couple years on stilts, juggling. I'm going to try to do the same again this year. And then the following weekend, we have Philip Rivers' football camp. So, which is, I think, my favorite event of the year to watch these young athletes get to catch a ball. Philip interacts with every single one of them. And I think the best thing about this event is there's foster children intermixed in with, you know, other people who have the money to be able to pay for this event. And they all wear the same shirts and jeans. And you can't tell a foster child from a child who already has a forever home. And it's just really fun to watch these kids run around and interact with Philip Rivers.
You know, as I say, congratulations to the Chargers for helping out in the community. Perhaps the number one Charger is Philip Rivers with his foundation, helping kids, his 5K run, the football camp, as you mentioned, all the things that he does for this community, as well as playing at a Pro Bowl quarterback level. The guy's unbelievable, and we are hoping to talk to him very soon here on Sports Squawk Sunday.
And it really all started when LaDainian Tomlinson left, and then Philip Rivers really stepped in. He became really the true leader of that team. With that said, there's been a lot of interesting things that's happened at Chargers this week, and we can get into talk about that. They signed a guy named Patrick Doyle out of USD.
How about that?
Now, on one side, it's a seventh tight end. Does this guy have a chance at all at making this team? And if you're to look at it from that perspective, the answer is no. But I think he has an excellent chance of making the practice squad. And here's the reason why. Is you pretty much know that Norv Turner is going to want to have a tight end on the practice squad because that's a valuable position. Last year, the practice squad tight end was Brad Taylor. The year before, it was Corey Sperry. Sperry actually was then made it up to the active roster. So the only two practice squad eligible tight ends before they signed Doyle was Brad Taylor and Ladarius Green. Now, we don't think that Ladarius Green is going to be on the practice squad because they have plans to utilize this kid this year. So that really just leaves Brad Taylor. But Taylor hurt himself the Thursday before in OTAs and didn't practice at all this week. So we don't know the severity of that injury. So this Patrick Doyle out of USD may actually have a realistic opportunity of sticking around and making the practice squad in this team.
Interesting. He signed for 3 years. He's 6'3", 245. He caught 49 passes for 628 yards and 5 touchdowns at USD. The guy can play.
Well, the signing for 3 years isn't that's your undrafted free agents. They all sign for 3 years.
And it's really
the 3 years, don't put a lot of emphasis in that, but
to say, I think the Chargers have enough tight ends on the roster.
7-0. And I really think one of the more interesting battles we're going to get into training camp is I came into OTAs pretty much Randy McMichael. He's on the squad. Of course, he's on the squad. Dante Rosario's got a lot more snaps than Randy McMichael in OTAs. And
really?
McMichael's getting up there in age. And I think there's a chance. I think it's one of the great battles we're going to have is Dante Rosario could beat out Randy McMichael for a roster spot. I really think that they could go with four tight ends, and that would be Gates, Rosario, and then Ladarius Green and Speary.
Well, now that Gronk has gotten a $54 million deal from the Patriots, you can see the tight end position becoming more and more important on NFL teams. And two tight ends is going to be the norm rather than the exception. I think the Chargers are moving in that direction. Another interesting signing this week, Ronnie Brown, the former Miami Dolphins running back, who made the Wildcat his specialty in South Florida, played with the Eagles last year in a backup role. But Ronnie Brown, I think, can help the Chargers. I think they are looking for that veteran backup to Ryan Matthews.
I'm not so sold on the Ronnie Brown signing. I look at it almost as along the lines of a Roscoe Parrish signing. There was a lot of...
You don't like Roscoe?
And I'm not saying I dislike Roscoe. I'm saying that when you get down to the end of, beginning of September, and you have to get down to 53 players, I think we're up to 15 free agents they've signed this, offseason altogether. And they make a big deal of the number of free agents. My big deal is how many of those are actually contributing to this team and are on the 53-man roster. I'm just not absolutely convinced that Ronnie Brown is going to make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, I was in Buffalo when Roscoe Parrish was drafted and played, and he came out of college with the reputation as the fastest player ever at the University of Miami. Unfortunately, he had that kind of speed, but he can't stay healthy. We shall see what he does in San Diego. He didn't do much in Buffalo. But Ronnie Brown, I think, is an interesting signing. It'll be fascinating to watch if he can make this team and contribute. Sports Squawk Sunday, Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360, and you on the phone at 570-1360, good from any area code, such a deal. And we talked about it briefly, but Brian Banks getting a workout with the Chargers, not invited back, but kudos to Norv Turner for doing the right thing and giving this guy a chance after he spent 5 years in jail for a rape he didn't commit and got exonerated.
Plus 5 more years on parole. So it's really, this has been 10 years he's been living under this. And he was looking at a lifetime of being on a registered sex offenders list, which
can't get a job.
And when he talked about, he's been out of prison for 5 years, but when this came down 2 weeks ago, he really felt, I finally got my freedom. He wasn't free when he got out.
He's got that shirt that says exonerated.
Yeah.
I love that.
And he just seems to have this amazing zest for life, a great attitude.
He's taking advantage of the second chance, and God love him for it.
And I feel for the fact that he lost out on an opportunity. I would love, it'd be a great story to see him land somewhere and go through training camp. And the thing that I think maybe he has a chance is that if he's is on special teams, because he's incredibly fast. He's a big, fast guy who can go down and make a tackle, make somebody miss. So maybe he's got a chance there. The reality is, if he gets an opportunity, there's only 90 spots that you can bring in to training camp. That means somebody else who was in college last year who doesn't have this thing, has been playing football a year ago, is not going to get an opportunity. That's the reality.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a great story, and the Seattle Seahawks have invited him back to be part of their mini camp. So, and of course, Pete Carroll recruited him while at USC. He was going to be a Trojan until the false charges came to light and he had to go to prison. Oh, it's just
I think he fits in well there because Pete Carroll still, I think, has that kind of bit of a college attitude. And Brian brings a bit of that rah-rah enthusiasm that I think he brings some intangibles into a locker room because of his history and his good attitude that there's a lot that could be gained by having that guy around a football team.
And Philip Rivers scheduled to join us this hour. We shall see. But there was a list that came out that boggled my mind. Even a great mind like mine is boggled from time to time. I guess of the biggest leaders in the NFL, and Philip Rivers was ranked 23rd on that list. Seems like a terrible oversight. There's a guy, if he's not a top 10 leader, nobody is.
But Doug, all these lists and things are year to year, and it goes back down to performance. And he had 20 interceptions last year, and that shouldn't impact the leadership part. It's somebody sitting at the computer who doesn't interact with all these guys. And I mean, here's what people don't understand about an NFL facility. You think there's tons of media around. During the week at OTAs, I'll tell you who was there on a daily basis. It was myself. It was Michael Gilkin of the UT. It was Sharon Herbrom of the UT. And Scott Bear of the North County Times is getting married, so he's been in and out. They've actually had a backup. And that's pretty much been it. Some cameras show up at the end of practice to ask some questions, but it's not like there's – what my point is there's a lot of people who make all these lists and do all these things who aren't really there or exposed to the team. And I'm there, and I'm not saying that I'm an expert on it. I'm only focused in on the Chargers. So I throw a lot of the stuff just out the window because it's a lot of people just making stuff up.
Well, somebody gets paid to make these lists, and I wish I was one of them. Half of them are useless, but they make good sports fodder, and that's basically all they're good for. Okay, Sports Squawk Sunday, Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360. Coming up, what's your sports outrage of the week? I got a doozy. Don't get mad, get it off your chest. And who's your sports weenie of the week? Call your guys and speak your sporting mind, 570-1360. Stay with us, Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360.
It's summertime, and that means the sun is out for much more longer period of time each day. It's really getting to the point with my electric bill. I'm expecting to earn a credit because I'll generate more electricity with my solar panels that Herca Solar installed than I'll consume in the month. And what will happen is that credit will be carried forward to the next month. So as we get forward into the winter months, I'll be consuming those credits. My two bills so far with since I've installed solar with Herca Solar has been $6.34 and $5.23. Herca Solar uses SunPower panels, which are made in the United States, come with a 25-year warranty. You really do need to call Herca Solar if you're spending more than $100 a month on electric. Go to hercasolar.com, HERCASolar.com, or call Herca Solar at 1-877-796-3529.
Welcome back to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan on your Chargers information station, Extra Sports 1360. Speak your sporting mind right now at 570-1360. Good from any area code. Such a deal.
Harden crossed it over. Steph Stack fires a three over Leonard. Cha-ching! It's under Bunny Ball! Oh, James Harden rises and rips the corn. 106-101 Thunder with 28.8 left. That is the silencer.
Yeah, the OKC Thunder advancing to the NBA Finals where they will now meet the Heat. Yeah, Miami beating Boston decisively, 101-88 last night to take Game 7. I guess that's the first Game 7 triumph of LeBron James's career. About time. So the Heat win the East, 4-3. Now in the finals, Game 1, Tuesday night in Oklahoma City. And should be a great NBA final. Got to be happy for LeBron, but Kevin Durant ain't going to go down easy. That's going to be a great final between two titans of the NBA.
I think it's going to be a great series. And I said, I'm not a big basketball guy, but
you watched it last night.
I did last night, and I got hooked in. I really enjoyed the game.
Well, the playoffs are where it's happening. You know, that's where it's at. The regular season, of course, pared back to 66 games this year.
Great. Keep it that way.
Yeah, there's too many games, both in hockey and basketball and baseball, for that matter. I don't know if that'll ever change, but perhaps a sports outrage of the week in the making. Who knows? Anyway, welcome back. Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan. Doug Young and Dan McClellan here. Extra Sports 1360. And time for your sports outrage of the week. I say don't get mad. Get it off your chest. And we want to hear about your sports weenie of the week as well. 570-1360. Good from any area code, such a deal. Your sports outrage of the week. Well, mine is a pretty easy one, Dan. After I shelled out $55 last night on pay-per-view to watch Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, and I'll tell you what, I don't think Bradley won more than one round. I think he won the 10th round, and that's about it. It was an easy decision for Manny, and yet the three judges saw it differently, at least two of them did. Two of them picked Bradley, 115 to 113. The other judge had that same score for Manny. Split decision for Timothy Bradley. A terrible decision, my sports outrage of the week.
I'm not outraged because I'm just used to seeing this with boxing. I really believe the only way you're going to solve this is that in championship fights, you don't have scorekeeping. You just keep going until somebody gets knocked out or throws in the white flag. Then we would watch, and I know we've done all this stuff about concussions and sports. It's boxing, and you don't need to decide a title based on a scorecard. So I think if you are so outraged about this, Doug, you and everybody else who paid $55 should have a class action lawsuit and try to get your money back. My outrage goes back to the Padres organization for drafting T.O., not it's Terrence Owens in the 40th round. Why am I outraged about a 40th round? Maybe I should be outraged that there's 40 rounds in a Major League Baseball draft. But what I'm really outraged about this is this guy is a high school quarterback. He doesn't even play baseball. And I guess, you know, the odds of a guy from the 40th round making it in the big leagues may be slim. But still, it is an opportunity for you to bring somebody with baseball talent into your organization. If you want to give a chance to this guy and possibly develop him, then you invite him to come join your organization. You don't spend a draft pick on him. This has got to be one of the most absurd moves of many that the Padres have made. What an outrage.
Well, I'll tell you what, the wheels were obviously turning in the Padres' brain trust. And I guess, you know what? They say you got to take a chance in the later rounds. They did that. They took a big chance, and it probably won't pay off. But if nothing else, they got some publicity out of it.
If you're going to take a chance, why don't you draft the number one home run hitting softball player in the nation? Bring in a woman into your organization to make it to the big league. Somebody who has some baseball experience instead of a football player.
Incredible. So it's interesting. You know, the draft is such a crapshoot because, you know, like look at a guy like Mike Trout for the Angels, who's just tearing it up at the tender age of 20. Perhaps baseball's next superstar. Even the Angels, when they drafted him, picked another guy in front of him. You never know. And it's a crapshoot in many ways, both in the NFL draft and any draft in any sport. It's never a sure thing.
I'm outraged I didn't get drafted because I played through eighth grade.
You have all the credentials to be a pro. No question about it. Okay, the sports weenie of the week. I have a collective award. The Padre hitters, okay? They are my sports weenies of the week because they are hitting an abysmal 188 with runners in scoring positions. The worst batting average in baseball.
Why this week? Why is it this week they're the weenie of the week? That could have been any week for the last 2-4 years.
I thought it was worth mentioning. Also, did you see a guy didn't get his name, but a Dallas Cowboys running back, I believe a rookie at their OTAs, had to leave the field during practice because he had fire ants in his pants.
Ants in your pants?
Yes. He had ants in his pants, fire ants, no less, and evidently is allergic to ants and had to make a beeline to the locker room.
That's
a good one.
Before we go, I got some a deal for our listeners here. Something free. Do you like free?
Free is good.
My buddy Dat Fan, who's the winner, original winner of Last Comic Standing, is performing here in San Diego next Saturday night. Go to our Facebook page, Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360. Like us. Just say, hey, I want some tickets for the Dat Fan. I'll get you on the comp list. You can go in and see the show for free. There's a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock show. I was supposed to perform, but I am not going to, really, because the Enforcers have made it to the championship game that night. They're going to be playing at Balboa Stadium, and next week we're going to have some Enforcers in studio. Sorry, so it's not next Saturday. It's the Saturday. It's two Saturdays from now. So anyways, if you like to see that fan perform,
the Enforcers, that's a fine outfit.
So I am choosing to go cover the Enforcers championship game rather than perform with that fan.
Kudos to you. And kudos to you for listening to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan. I am Doug Young. He is Dan McClellan. This is Extra Sports 1360. We are here every Sunday from 9 to 10 and happy to be. Thanks to Dennis Foster for joining us, a race horsing owner extraordinaire. Talked about the Belmont Stakes, of course, and we'll give Philip Rivers a break here. He probably had to go to church or something.
He's called us. I know he's going to be in Mass at 10:30 this morning. So, and there's a ton of kids that he's trying to gather up to get into the car to go to church. So any number of things could have happened there.
We will reschedule with Philip Rivers. He owes us one now.
Oh, no, it's okay. Hey, anyway, we got a new sponsor coming on next week, and that is go to sandiegochiropractor.com. Dr. Bart Kahn, he's my chiropractor. If you're in pain at all, go see him. He's a great guy. sandiegochiropractor.com.
And thanks, as always, to Zeth behind the glass, doing a great job playing all the cuts and playing all the great music. He's my guy. All right, thanks for joining us. Have a great day, and we'll see you next Sunday for Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan, Extra Sports 1360.
Thanks for listening to Sports Squawk Sunday with Doug and Dan here on Extra Sports 1360, your flagship station for Chargers football. Join your guys every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 as they tackle the hottest topics in San Diego sports. Have a great week, and see you next Sunday only on Extra Sports 1360.